back here on Downtown on a Monday afternoon. Time to talk some Boston sports, and to do that, we welcome in Chad Finn of the Boston Globe. Good Monday to you, Chad. Hello there.
Hey, Rich, how are you? What's with all those horns? I should be getting a sad trombone today for the introduction.
Well, you know, I thought you would be delivering us some sad news, so I wanted to balance it a little bit.
Oh, okay. Feel good before we get into the gist of it, I think.
I think so, yes, because, well, you summed it up pretty well. I know you don't write the headlines, but there it is. The Patriots stink.
Yeah. They fished that one out of the column, so I'll take credit for that. I mean, I have to file that column like 20 minutes after the game ends, so it's pretty raw sometimes. And that was probably, you know, I looked it up today. Actually, I thought it was going to be the worst display of Patriots football I've seen since 2000 when Belichick got here, and he had to remodel the roster, and the salary cap was a disaster, and there's some veterans that need to be pruned off and things like that. That team didn't give up more than 30 points in a game that year. So as bad as it was, they at least played with some dignity, even though they didn't have a great roster. This is just a total mess all the way around. I mean, I guess the defense was okay. Saints got 34 points, but yeah, defense just feels like it's on the field two-thirds of the game right now. I think they actually were yesterday. I think the offense only had the ball about 20 minutes. So I'll excuse them, but the offensive line's a disaster. That's where it starts. They can't run the ball. I don't know what's happened to Ramondre. He just doesn't break tackles this year. The receivers are all third and fourth receivers, and the quarterback's terrible. And on top of that, the coach hasn't done a good job with any of it. So other than that, they look great.
I was, of all the horrible nuggets that you unearthed, I was stunned that you have to go back to 1969 for the last time they were shut out at home.
Yeah, there's just, you know, all sorts of things you can pull out of that game yesterday. I mean, there were, I know my friend Mike Reese used to be my colleague at the Globe was saying that this is the worst he's seen them since 1997. Which I guess they had back-to-back 20-point losses that season. But I remember that era pretty well. I mean, things got progressively worse in Pete Carroll's 3 years here, but those teams are still loaded with talent. They were frustrating because they underachieved and they were undisciplined, but they were talented at least. This team is none of those things, and it really did remind me of the 1990 Patriots, the Rod Russ Patriots, and Dick McPherson once a couple of years later where just the no talent or really anything else to latch on to. I remember one of those years, I always forget which one, I guess it was 92, Zolak came in and won two games, and everybody was so excited about that. That's kind of what people are hoping for now out of like Bailey Zappi or Malik Cunningham or Will Greer or whoever, that just something could give them a spark, and it's pretty bad.
At least Zolak built a whole second career on that.
Yeah, came in, threw a couple touchdown passes in his first game, player of the week, fired some finger guns, and all these years later, he's the radio guy. It worked out pretty well for him. But
except now he has to watch this team every week.
Yeah, that's his punishment, right?
Man, oh man.
I thought they were going to be good this year. I don't know how you felt, but I still came into the season thinking Belichick was an advantage, and they just don't feel that way right now. I mean, you just start stacking up all the things that have gone wrong, the decision-making, not going after elite offensive talent, wasting really a first-round pick on a guard. I know they need to build up their offensive line, but a guard in the first round who, you know, people thought had pegged as a fourth-round pick. You can just go on and down the list, going back a couple of years now. And you got the benefit of the doubt for all these things because he built Belichick and he won six titles. And we saw countless examples of his defensive genius. But for whatever reason, and I guess maybe we'll never know, but it feels like that slipped away from him here, and we're at a turning point now.
And maybe this is a stretch, but I feel like Mac Jones had more talent when he was playing for Alabama.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, Devonta Smith and Jalen Waddle and John Metchie to throw to, and Najee Harris behind him. I mean, and, you know, the teams that he was on as a younger college kid with Jalen Hurts and Tua ahead of him at quarterback. I mean, some of their deepest rosters in pro history. I'm sure he's really frustrated and probably doesn't feel great about the situations that Belichick has put him in with Matt Patricia last year, and then really with the inept offensive talent this year. He's been affected, clearly. He has no feel in the pocket anymore. He's not good at the things he was supposed to be good at. He's not accurate, doesn't feel the pressure, doesn't have a great internal clock, doesn't make the right decision 99% of the time. All these things that were supposed to be the strengths that make up for his lack of arm strength. And they seem to exist when he was a rookie, when they started 9-4, but they've slowly been either evaporated here or maybe they were just exaggerated in the first place because the team around them was a little better.
So if he's a better quarterback than Bailey Zappi, not that neither one of them should pack their bags for Canton anytime soon, but would it be good for him just to take a little break and get Zappi out there for a game or two?
I don't want to watch him either.
Well, no, I mean, no.
They think so highly of them, they put him on waivers. He came out. I was impressed last year. I know he caught a little bit of a spark there, but I remember a touchdown pass he threw against the Bears when he came in, where Gillette went nuts, where the pass was nowhere close to where it was supposed to be. Just Jacoby Myers made an adjustment and caught it. That's the kind of thing that happened that made you think something good was going on, and it was just kind of a mirage. And that's very clear now. It was clear in training camp, clear now. Overthrew Bourne open a couple times when he came in yesterday, overthrew Hunter Henry, where they had a pretty big play to make there. And I don't know what the solution is. I don't know if you sit Mac down out of fear of breaking him completely, but you got to make your contract decision on him anyway this year. You might as well find out 100% whether or not it's going to work. I think we all know now, but you know, maybe something goes right here. Maybe something clicks and it adds a little bit more intrigue to it. But the answer is not going to be Bailey Zappi. The answer is probably not going to be Mac Jones anyway. But as badly as things have gone, I'd still rather see Mac.
Yeah, I mean, you can let him bottom out and try to get a great pick next year. But does anybody at this point have any confidence that Belichick wouldn't decide to grab a punter in the first round?
Just keep doing what they're doing. Oh, Caleb Williams next year. I mean, I would. It would be tough to bottom out to get to that first pick, or you get Williams. But it looks like a pretty intriguing draft. I mean, I would take Marvin Harrison Jr. If he were there. I feel like he would get some playing time among that wide receiver core they have right now, with Juju Smith-Schuster getting 6 yards on 3 catches yesterday. Drake May, the North Carolina quarterback, supposed to be a real high pick, highly thought of. I think that's the best case scenario for them, even if they're not as bad as Carolina or maybe Denver, or the Giants are pretty terrible right now. Teams like that, even if you get up in that top five, you're going to get a good player. And what this team needs more than anything else is quality young talent on the roster. I mean, we think about guys like Kyle Duggar, Josh Uche. Mike Onwenu has been terrible this year, but he's clearly playing hurt. As good young players, the potentially young core, they're all free agents after this season. Some of them have contracts, so there's probably going to be a lot of turnover anyway, even with some guys that we perceive as being young. And the way to remedy that is just to get up high in the draft, get another Christian Gonzalez type of talent, and rebuild this thing the right way.
We're talking with Chad Finn here on Downtown. I mean, it's unthinkable, and yet here we are. Bob Kraft, how long will he allow this to continue before he pulls the plug on arguably the greatest coach in NFL history?
Yeah, well, it's what, 79-3 is the 79 unanswered points here, I think they've given up. If they go into Las Vegas and get smoked, maybe Kraft starts thinking about it. I feel like Jonathan Kraft probably would do it now. I mean, he's a little bit more temperamental and less measured than his father. But the one thing we know is just that the goodwill that Belichick built up over all those years, that's pretty much gone now. All of it's gone. This is year four. Year two of the post-Brady era was pretty good. Made the playoffs, won 10 games. It's been absolute trash the last year and a half. And at some point there's going to be consequences. I tend to think they let this season play out, but we don't really know. I don't think anything would shock me at this point.
Does he hurt his own cause when every time there's a hole that needs to be plugged, he just brings back a Patriots retread?
Yeah. You're saying Kyle Van Noy's coming back this season too? Yeah, I think so. I mean, he seems to minimize the available pool of players sometimes to guys that he knows, guys he's coached, guys who friends of his have coached, and that's not ideal. But I'm more frustrated just by the unwillingness to pay for high-caliber talent.
Yeah.
I think DeAndre Hopkins had a great game yesterday. He could have helped here. I know he's not what he once was, but they just lowballed him, and two teams interested, and the other one got him. And you can get away with that. You have Tom Brady, and you have Rodney Harrison, Teddy Bruschi, Mike Vrabel, Richard Seymour, all those guys on defense. You can do it with the second generation with the McCourties and Hightowers and guys like that, but you can't really do it now. You've got to go out and find the next stars for this team. They kind of lucked into one with Gonzalez falling in the draft, but I don't know who that second guy is right now. So it's time to start really trying to acquire top-end talent rather than finding bargains and familiar names.
The only thing that made yesterday palatable was the fact that the Cowboys showed us who they really are.
Yeah, I don't watch a ton of that game. It was 21-3, 21-7, I think, when I turned it off. But woke up this morning to one of the podcasts I listened to, Bill Simmons' podcast, is killing the Cowboys and the Patriots pretty equally. So I realized that it probably didn't go too well for them after I turned it off. But Dallas is always what they are. They're like a 10-11 win team who's going to win one playoff round and not ever win anything of any significance as long as Mike McCarthy's their head coach, even though he pants Belichick last week.
Well, we at least figured out what went wrong with the Red Sox, why they've been in last place 2 years in a row. It was clearly the fault of Dave Bush and Carlos Fabelis.
Yeah, I know. Is that official scapegoats? I mean, I was thinking about Fabelis. You know, he's the third base coach. He's the infield coach, too. Kind of feel like maybe he got the punishment for just the brutal defense that they played. I think that reflects back more on the manager than anything else. Mm. Some of the decisions that Heim Bloom made in the infield, Kike Hernandez, a shortstop, things like that. I mean, Ozzie Smith couldn't help that guy. But, when things go wrong like they do, people lose their jobs. And I know Cora wanted to keep his staff. I think this is a sign that maybe Cora isn't going to get everything that he wants.
So does anybody want this job as director of baseball operations? Is it still as attractive as it might have been a decade ago?
Probably not then. A decade ago, you're Mookie Betts and A-ball, right? Somewhere Zim Bogaerts had just made his debut. Pretty good farm system there. But it's better than it was when Heim took it over. I guess that's a credit to Heim, but a lot of interesting players in the farm system, whether it's Meyer or Raffaello, we got to see a little bit, or Roman Anthony, who just rocketed up draft boards or prospect list this year. It's appealing to a general manager. I think the alarming things, as always, are how much the Red Sox and John Henry, Tom Warren are going to be willing to spend, because they haven't in recent years. But the backlash has been there, and when the Red Sox get backlash and people stop showing up, that's when they tend to start reinvesting again. So I think it's a pretty appealing job. So,
well, and you mentioned Mookie. He's such a classy guy. Did you see what he did when he stormed into a Torrey Lovullo's post-game press conference?
Yeah, I gave him a hug. Yeah, Lovullo, everybody loved him when he was here. Probably should have got the Red Sox managerial job at some point or another when he filled in when John Farrell was sick. But nobody's complaining about Alex either. The job that he did, at least at the beginning here. But, yeah, he was a really liked and well-respected guy, including by the media, just a super guy to talk to and very smart. And I don't think his success with Arizona surprises a lot of people.
You think there's anything to this this chatter out there about the Red Sox having some interest in Ohtani, or have they just fed that to try and make people believe that they're players for actual big names?
Yeah, it came from John Heyman, who's usually a Scott Boras parrot. So I don't know if Boras even reps Ohtani. Ohtani, but that's the first thing that always pops into mind there. I don't think they are. I think they're interested in loading up on pitching, and Ohtani isn't going to be able to do that next year. But I'd like to be pleasantly surprised. I wouldn't mind seeing him in the middle of the lineup.
That'd be all right. I would take that indeed. Chad Finn of the Boston Globe with us here on Downtown. Chad, thank you so much. As always, hope the rest of your day and your week go well, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
All right, Rich. Take care.
You got it.